Don't look now, but next week, middle of the week, another year is done and gone. Here's hoping you squeezed everything you could from it. I have to say, 2019 wasn't all that spectacular for me. In fact, I'd go so far as to say it's been a subpar year in many ways. However, it is not my intent to focus on what didn't happen this past year, but to turn my eyes instead upon the promise of what 2020 might possibly hold. We do that, don't we? We look ahead to what the future might hold, to the promise of a new day, week, month, and year. It's a trait as old as mankind. Some things we can't control, such as the weather. For those who are really hoping to get out and use snow machines, because, hey, it's a lot of fun, or maybe be able to hunt caribou and get some meat in the freezer? Well, we can hope and plan, but unless the weather cooperates, it's all for naught. There are other things we can control. To put it another way, the ball is squarely in our court. We can plan, and we can have quite a bit of control. It's also true that sometimes we fall short on the parts we have control over, and it's another truth of human nature that we will often seek out a reset when we do. One of the biggest times people choose to hit that reset button is the start of a new year. So, get ready for those resets. Next week's your big chance. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I'm talking about resolutions, those goals we set for ourselves to have some part of our future be brighter or an improvement over the past. We try to exert some control over the things we can control, or we try to start again from something we've tried that hasn't worked. One of the most popular times to do this is the start of a new year, with the setting of a bunch of New Year's resolutions. Not everyone makes New Year's resolutions, but a lot of people do, whether it's half-hearted, ha-ha, funny kinds of things, or an earnest effort to address a perceived shortcoming. Frankly, there are some studies that have indicated that those who set resolutions actually do stand a better chance of seeing those goals come to pass than those who don't. Maybe it's one of those things from that Wayne Gretzky quote, with, "You miss every shot you don't take." As far as any kind of proof resolutions work, one Gallup poll from a few years ago found that as many as half of those who made common resolutions, such as weight loss, exercise programs, or quitting smoking, were over 10 times as likely to succeed when compared to those who did not make such resolutions. I'm not sure how truly scientifically accurate that is, but it doesn't sound like nothing either. Speaking of common resolutions, any idea what the top three resolutions are that are put forward the most by people? A university study identified the following: lose weight and eat better, get more organized, and spend less, save more. That can't be any surprise, really, as those are all three things that cause issues for a large part of our population at some point in their lives. Sometimes it's all three, and they affect us quite often. That's because actual lasting change is hard, isn't it? Of course it is. If it wasn't, we'd all change much more readily, more often. In that same survey, only 8% of those surveyed said they were successful in their resolutions through the whole year. What should we take from that? Resolutions can be hard to keep, but those who make a conscious effort at seeing a need for and wanting change stand a better chance of seeing change occur. Food for thought if you're considering a resolution or two this year. The setting of New Year's resolutions is nothing new. Not on this program, and not at all going back for pretty much all of human history. The Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each new year that they would return things they had borrowed from others and pay off any outstanding debts. The Romans began each year by making promises to improve themselves to the god Janus, whose name, by the way, is where we get the name for January. I don't think there's any existing evidence about whether those improvements involved weight loss or giving up vices. The Romans were, after all, pretty big on both food and assorted vices. During medieval times, knights took the peacock vow at the end of each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. From time to time today, you'll hear that chivalry is dead. Maybe we just need to resurrect peacock vows for today's menfolk. Similar such traditions exist across any number of religions tied to repentance, forgiveness, or self-improvement. Again, resolutions and improvement are not new concepts. I am often a list maker, and I'm talking about actual written lists. But I don't remember the last time I sat down and wrote out resolutions, unless you count the stuff I've shared on this program in past years. I do go into each new year with some ideas about things I'd like to change, and often those things are pretty specific. Some people are very amenable with change, while it's a bit harder for some of us. An ex-wife once described me as a stick in the mud, and maybe that goes somewhat with embracing the role of a curmudgeon. But as Greek philosopher Heraclitus once pointed out, the only thing in life that is constant is change, so it's coming, whether we have open arms or get drug along kicking and screaming. This being Field Notes, let's begin to tie things to the outdoors, or at least try to. Facebook is often replete at this time of year with folks sharing resolutions. Far and away one of my favorites, from a number of years ago, was by the Bureau of Land Management, Royal Gorge Recreational Area. It was a photo album of outdoor scenes, and it was super cool. Each picture had a resolution at the top. Those resolutions were things like, get exercise outdoor more, get out and explore more, take better outdoor photos, hang outside with friends, take more calculated risks, enjoy the weather, spend more nights outdoors, see more wildlife, and take the road less traveled. Another, by Mark Rutherford, who's a refuge sport fishing guide, said, dream it, do it, love it. To me, that's incredibly simple, general, and yet powerful. And the best part, the actual resolution part, is in the middle. Do it. It's easy enough to dream stuff, and it's also pretty easy to love it after the fact. The do it part, that's the one that takes effort. Let me give you an example from my own life, tied to the outdoors. Actually, I'm going to share a few, but let me lead with this one. I resolved to hunt in Africa in 2020. Here's the thing. I've been wanting to hunt in Africa all of my adult life, and probably some of my years before becoming an adult. At some point, I told myself my goal, my resolution, was that I'd hunt Africa before I turned 50. Well, I'm 53, so I'm a little late, but I guess it's better late than never after all. Over the past year, the doing part has been relatively time-consuming, but I think this one's finally going to happen. Passports are here. It's me and my youngest daughter going. Tickets are bought and the down payment was made to the outfitter. Barring something unforeseen, such as a piano dropping on top of me or Africa falling into the ocean, I'm finally, at long last, going to be able to put a check by this one. Let's tackle that weight loss one, because it does affect a lot of people. Maybe your own weight isn't a concern. I'll freely admit that mine is and has been for most of my adult life. At its peak, I was pushing 275. That was back in 2012. That's okay if you're well over 6 foot tall and play a line spot in the NFL. I don't, and I'm 5'9". A stent in my heart in April of that year made me realize I needed to consider that perhaps I should weigh less. I have been as low as 220 since then, and 210 remains my goal. I've fluctuated between 220 and 240 quite a bit in the years since, so I guess that's something of a victory, because it's not 275, but I know that less is better still and that getting older can make it harder. A part of my problem is that, like the Romans, I like my food, and I don't get the level of exercise they did in marching off to conquer other countries. Here's hoping and planning that I'll get to 210 and stay there in 2020. It'll certainly have an impact on my life outdoors, and I'm excited to think what it could mean. I resolved to camp more in 2020. I feel funny making that one a resolution, but a few health issues in 2019 seriously cut into my tent time during the year. So I want for 2020 to see a return to my normal levels of camping time. Frankly, I think resolving to camp more is a great one for anyone who lives around Southwest Alaska, so maybe it's on your list too. I resolved to fish more. That's actually one I've been making for years and haven't made a lot of ground on it. I've got some friends I need to lean on to help me along with this one this year. I resolved to continue to chip away at my bucket list for guns. Frankly, that's a list that will probably continue to have items added to it, so it's not like it's ever going to go away completely. I managed to knock off a couple more guns last year, the best one being a dandy Remington Model 141, circa 1940. I plan to top it with a vintage steel tube Weaver scope, and I really want to hunt with this gun someday, so that'll become a resolution of its own at some point. I have a lot of other things that I'd maybe consider resolutions, but those are a few that are outdoor related. I don't know if you're a resolution sort or not. If so, I'd say this. Be thinking about what it is you want to be doing and achieving outdoors in the coming year. The clock is ticking. In fact, it's always ticking. Take advantage of any and all time you can to spend outdoors while you can. Never take anything for granted, and savor those things that bring you passion and joy. Best of wishes on a great start to 2020, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.